Last week, we heard a story of Elijah having his faith and resilience restored and the calling of his successor, Elisha. This week, we hear a story of transitioning leadership. Elijah and his protege, Elisha, know that Elijah's time is running out. From the second book of Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, let's hear the word of God. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elijah said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them. As they both were standing by the Jordan, then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He struck the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he had struck the water was parted to one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's hot up here. It's hot here, but did you hear about the traffic issue that happened at Denver Airport this week? There was a traffic accident on the way to the highway leading to Denver International, and traffic varied between a crawl and a standstill. Stuck in traffic and under pressure to get to the airport on time to catch their flight, some people did what 10 years ago would have been unthinkable. They took out their phones and started Googling alternative routes to the airport. They put their faith in Google. They trusted Google to lead them to the promised land of Denver International. They got off that highway at the next exit, and they boldly drove through surface roads as Google guided them through streets on the outskirts of Denver. The true test of faith came when Google said, "Take a turn onto a dirt road," that was going through a field. Okay, to call it a dirt road is to ascribe this right-of-way a lot more credit than that cart path deserved. And unfortunately, those placing their faith in Google boldly pressed on. If you've been paying attention to the national news or even the weather, you may know or can guess how this turned out. It's been raining in this country, and it's been raining a lot. That dirt road became a muddy track, and that little muddy cart path, which might have been able to handle a couple of 4x4s or a real SUV, was clogged with vehicles that just don't do well in the mud. Dozens upon dozens of folks watched their planes fly overhead as they sat in the mud waiting for tow trucks to haul their cars out of the mud. As people of faith, we have to be careful in whom we choose to lead us. There are ways to identify whether we can trust a particular leader or not. God's chosen leader for a people often will have certain marks and symbols. The marks for a leader in a congregational church often reflect the values both present and aspired to that a congregation already exhibits. If worship is the most important aspect of a faith community, the leader would best be able to preach and assemble a decent liturgy. If social justice is the primary focus of a church, the pastor needs to be a community organizer. If pastoral care is the key concern of a church, the minister needs to have a gentle grace and a capacity for holding all the sorrow that a church can generate. Those are the marks of a minister. There are also symbols that God's leader should have. And the symbols of a church and a UCC church will often include a diploma from a seminary, a relationship with an existing church, and if they are not ordained yet, they need to be fully eligible for ordination. In ancient Israel, Elijah's mantle had become a symbol of prophetic leadership. A mantle was a cloak or a cape that was used to ward off the weather. One could wrap themselves in it and keep the elements out, be it wind, cold, or rain, or the heat. A mantle could be, and is still to this day, a symbol of vestment in an office. Some Christian denominations and orders still wear mantles, and in some cases they even have color-coded systems so you can demonstrate where someone is in the pecking order. The closest item we use regularly in the United Church of Christ is the stole, that length of cloth that traditionally worn over the shoulders and behind the neck that indicates being ordained, or it used to. But the mantle was one of the ways that the people of ancient Israel would know who Elijah was. He was the chief prophet of Israel. And there was no 5 o'clock news, no dot-coms, no newspapers, no social media for people to get acquainted with who this Elijah person was. Just the stories and knowing he wore a particular mantle. The role of the prophet was important in ancient Israel. The prophet was not a priest. You see, priests saw to the proper sacrifices on behalf of the people. And the prophet wasn't a ruler. That was the king's job. The prophet was the voice of the collective conscience of Israel. God's will, justice, and law being the point of conception and reflection for that collective conscience. The prophet gave voice to the ideas of God's righteousness and God's justice. No one in the ancient kingdoms of Israel and Judah gave voice to those ideas as well as Elijah. Elijah's reward for his faithful service was to be whisked directly to heaven. Not even Moses enjoyed such a celebratory conclusion to his service of God. But Elijah's term of service had come to an end. Elijah and Elisha were pretty sure Elisha was to be Elijah's successor. And this last road trip that Elijah takes, wandering from place to place, wandering, I'd like to think, being led by a sense of where to go by God, so that Elisha could also be reminded of some of these places. Going from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho, and Jericho to the Jordan. These places really mattered. Gilgal was the place where the Israelites under Joshua entered into the promised land. It was where all the men who had been born in the wilderness period between leaving Egypt and getting to the promised land, they were all circumcised there, reaffirming the covenant Israel had with God. And Joshua had set up 12 stones to represent each of the tribes of Israel in Gilgal. Bethel was the place where Abraham worshiped God. It was also the place where Jacob had his famous dream of the ladder reaching to heaven and angels ascending and descending upon it. At Bethel, among the commitments made to Jacob, God promised him, "Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go." Jericho was the site of the first triumph of the people of Israel in the Promised Land. A triumph not resulting from military might, but rather faith in God and nothing else. The Jordan River, the last stop on Elijah and Elisha's walk. Elijah struck the river Jordan with his mantle, and parting the waters would have reminded Elisha and reminds us that Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt through the Red Sea in a similar way. It also recalled how Elijah led the Israelites through similarly parted waters of the Jordan on dry ground into the promised land. Elijah's last road trip with Elisha allowed Elisha to recall the stories and their meanings, which in turn helped provide a foundation for who the Israelites were. Those meanings informed the prophets as to what they were doing as Israel's conscience and God's voice. Before the covenant, before entering the promised land, before the events which were sacredly recalled in this last tour, the Israelites were wanderers in the desert. Before that, slaves in Egypt. Adherence to the covenant, being faithful followers of God, putting no idols or false gods before God, and justly doing what was needed and living righteously was what the people of God had to do to stay right with God. The journey from holy place to holy place roots the leadership of Elisha in what was important. And Elijah was taken away. And when God's chosen leader is removed from or leaves God's people, it does not mean that God leaves. Rather, it means that everything that is God and reminds us of God remains. For God was at Gilgal. God was at Bethel. God was at Jericho, and God was right there at the River Jordan. And though Abraham, Jacob, Moses, and Joshua were key leaders of the Israelites, it was actually God who led them, empowered them, and watched over them. As important, as significant, as pivotal as Elijah had been for the Israelites, God was the actual focal point, source of truth, source of power, source of purpose, and source of meaning. And after Elijah was carried into heaven, Elijah whacked the River Jordan with that mantle. And it wasn't Elijah's power, and it wasn't Elisha's power, nor was it some magical power within the mantle that separated those waters so that Elisha could return from the wilderness. It was God's power. Elisha picked up that mantle, and prophetic leadership continued in ancient Israel. I spoke earlier of the marks and symbols of leadership in congregational churches. Leadership by an approved and ordained minister is important for the good order of the church. But as good Protestants, and even more importantly, as good Congregationalists, we believe in the ministry of all believers. And one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is Christian leadership. And this is a gift Union Congregational Church enjoys. There are many lay leaders in this congregation. There is a bastion of wisdom sitting in the pews and particularly residing in the parlor right now, each and every Sunday morning. There are dedicated pastoral caregivers. There are teachers. There are stewards, there are people who watch the money and look after the physical and financial resources of this church. And as long as you continue to pause and ask God, is this what you would have us do? And wait for an answer, UCC Groton will live and live well. While Gail, your Elijah has left, and it might seem like you're stuck in a muddy field when you could be on a plane, do not be troubled. Eventually, your Elisha will arrive. And in the meantime, God will continue to lead, continue to inspire, and continue to watch over you. For the Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. Amen. Please rise as you are able and join me in saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, Amen. This week, as the offering is being taken, I was wondering if everyone could mentally come up with something like the wristbands that I gave the children, something to help everybody keep an eye out for God and use what you hear and see as guidance for how UCC Groton might continue to move during this time of interimcy. The ushers may take the morning offering.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, and to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing.
Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. Jesus, how I trust him. How I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him.
Join me in our unison prayer of dedication. Loving God, as we bring these our offerings, we ask you to bless them for your work and to bless us in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, God of Abraham and Jacob, Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha, Peter and Paul, God of Jesus Christ our Savior, in all crises, personal or global, in all conflicts, from largest to smallest, in all of our life circumstances, we lift our eyes up to you, O God. We trust in you and the source of our help and our hope. We pray and we work for your loving presence and guidance in our hearts, in our homes, in our communities, in our countries, in our world. Fill us with your spirit and presence. Fill this church with your presence as they wander into the wilderness of being between settled pastors. Let this be a time which the people of this church grow ever closer to you. Let them rely on you and trust in you to lead them to the right interim and to the right settled pastor. Bless the leaders and workers of this church with wisdom and kindness as they take the next steps in the life of this church. Bless them with the wisdom of Solomon as they embark upon the accessibility project. Bless them with the patience of Job as they sort through ministerial profiles in search of the right pastors. Bless them with courage and leadership as they guide this church. Bless all who contribute to the success that is Union Congregational. May their gifts of your people grow, and may new gifts be seeded and harvested. Lord, we thank you for bringing people into this church and out of it, people who have made a difference in our lives and have taught us so well. Please bless and bring home those participating on the youth mission trips safe, happy, and changed for the better. Make them even stronger in their faith. Let them be walking examples of Christian discipleship. Lord, we now lift up the names into your blessed light, those we hold in prayer. We now silently pray that which rests in our hearts. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. Blessed and beloved, go forth trusting in the Lord our God, our Savior, and if, despite that trust, you end up in a muddy field, know it's because you're supposed to be there. Something amazing will happen. I bless you all in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good celebration, that's for sure. Thank you.